Welcome to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. You know, we have a series on American Variety that I call Genderology, and this is going to be one of those shows, and I'll tell you in a minute what it's about. My guests are two people, Michael Abernethy, who is a senior lecturer in the Department of Communication Studies at Indiana University Southeast, and joining us from California is Scott Lucas, who teaches anthropology and sociology at Lake Tahoe Community College in California. And also he runs something called the Gender Ads Project, which if you want to look it up, is at genderads.com. Very simple, genderads.com. So what we're going to talk about today is the changing image of men in the media. And it's something just in thinking about the show, I call it in my mind, the shrinking man. And so I'm going to issue a disclaimer here. You may have noticed that we're three men talking about this topic, and so automatically the thought is that it's going to be sort of a defensive thing about male bashing in the media. But I don't think it's going to be that. My two guests are experts in that area of the media, and you know, obviously are faculty members and are objective about it, and that's what we're going to try to be. And in genderology, which in general talks about very broadly about relations between men and women, or the differences between men and women, not in a, you know, Dr. Ruth kind of context, but more humorously about just fundamental differences between the sexes. And we try to make it, you know, interesting and funny sometimes, but this one isn't so funny. This talks about, this show topic will be about, you know, the traditional male and female stereotypes in TV and magazine advertising, which have always been obvious. That is, that men were strong, handsome, rational, and in charge, both at home and out in the world, while women were portrayed as kind of ditzy and concerned mainly with housekeeping and child rearing and looking attractive to men, right? So that's a long-running set of stereotypes in the media. But in recent decades, those stereotypes have been criticized, and I think rightly so. They reinforced male chauvinism, and they led to poor self-image in women and, gosh, you know, anorexia and lots of other bad things. And, you know, starting maybe in the late 60s and through the 70s, there was a pushback against those stereotypes. And over the past few years, I've noticed more and more a swing of the pendulum toward the other extreme, where I think what I started seeing and being aware of a few years back is that men in ads, as well as TV shows, are increasingly portrayed as weak and silly and ineffectual and stupid or childlike or all of the above, while women are the grown-ups and are calm and rational and in charge of both the children and the men at work and at home. So, I mean, you look at, you know, going back 15 years or so at Homer Simpson, and, you know, which is a, you know, a cartoon, but still the same kind of thing I'm talking about. But shows like Everybody Loves Raymond, or, you know, somebody like Al Bundy on Married with Children, who's a real boor, you know, or the two buddies more recently in ads in the Sonic drive-in commercials. I mean, it's kind of like Abbott and Costello, with the one kind of average but boyish guy and the other guy is a complete fool. And even when men are shown in traditionally tough guy images, like, well, let's say like the cavemen on Geico ads, they're clueless and buffoonish versions of men. But on the other hand, women, you know, look at like Flo in the Progressive insurance ads. She's evolved over time from a very old-fashioned, smiling and ingratiating kind of silly me image to a more substantial character who not so subtly makes fun of simple-minded male customers. Anyway, just to kind of round out my opening peroration here, most cleaning product ads are still directed at women, but that's not entirely true anymore. There are ads where a man is the one worrying about whether the detergent is getting the clothes clean enough. That's the trend I see, trying to look at it objectively. So do you agree? Let's start with Scott.
I do agree. I think we're seeing today in media, in ads, we're seeing a greater diversity of representation in many respects. For example, we're seeing more gay men portrayed in popular media. We're also seeing different roles for straight men. We're seeing the appearance of new forms of sensitivity and metrosexuality. And I think at the same time, we still have traditional representations, as we do with women, such as in professional wrestling and some action films. I would say that over the last 10 years, we've seen this increase in new portrayals of men in different ways, including, I think, what you said, males being seen as stupid, childlike, particularly grotesque, and then devaluing their roles as fathers and their new roles that have evolved as we see more gender diversity within the household and throughout society, I believe.
All right. So, Michael, as a researcher in communications, how do you see it? Do you agree with that characterization too?
Absolutely. I do think there is definitely more diversity and more effort to represent a variety of different types of men and women on television. But there's still a very strong presence of commercials and television programs about men who are ineffectual fathers and incompetent spouses and just skating by at their jobs. And I even see some advertisers who make an effort to show men in a more enlightened light. But even so, there is still that presence of incompetence. And a good example of that would be the Go-Gurt commercial, where you see the father who is preparing his son's lunch for school, which is typically a female thing that we would see in television. And so here is a male who is taking on something out of his traditional role, but in order to pack the lunch, they have left 10 different signs around the house telling him to not forget the Go-Gurt, as if one sign wouldn't be enough. And you even see the father a little exacerbated at all the different signs. But still, there's that presence that someone in the family, probably his spouse, thinks that he's too incompetent to remember something as simple as putting a Go-Gurt in his son's lunch.
All right, so before we get into the question of why is this portrayal being done and what does it mean, which is obviously the big questions, I'll take a chance and wade into the deeper part of the pool. I also noticed that it's white men who are portrayed in this negative way, largely speaking. And from what I see, black men are generally portrayed nowadays as being strong and virile characters. I mean, look at the nationwide insurance guy. You know, he could run for president practically or be an NFL linebacker at the same time or something. And, you know, when I see mixed race couples shown in ads, it's usually a black man with a white woman, which is funny because it's not like a 50-50 kind of thing there. But even there, the woman is usually still in charge. So that's like a deeper level of this thing. Do you all agree with that observation? Again, I'll start with Scott.
I think it's pretty complex. I agree with you that we're seeing new and varied representations of males, of females, of different ethnic and racial groups in the media. But I think also we have to think about over time, some of this will be worked out. I still see some representation of black males via hip hop culture and action films as villains. Hmm. And likewise, I still would say that some white males are portrayed as the action hero, as someone having strength and virility. And I guess I would question whether those are positive or negative values. So for me, the questions are still out there because I'm trying to analyze the totality of these representations. But to go back to earlier questions, I think we're seeing more diversity, and it'll be important for us to analyze the extent to which these representations change and what they truly say about us in society in terms of cultural, social, political issues.
Yeah, I mean, what I just said in terms of the depiction of black men and white men from what I see is definitely a mixed picture. And I guess I should say that on the genderology topics in general, I usually give a little preamble that says, or a disclaimer or something that says, you know, anything we say is not entirely true, right? Nothing you can say in these social arenas is ever completely true. There's always a spectrum, you know, and we try to make comments that are generally representing the middle of the bell curve, where it's mostly true or largely true or often true or something, but there's nothing you can say that's totally black and white, so to speak, right? So all the things we're saying just seem to me to be trends or tendencies. But I'm going to make another foray into even deeper water and turn to another hot button aspect of this topic that I think it was you, Scott, who mentioned earlier, the portrayal of gay men. And they used to be portrayed on TV, when they were portrayed at all, right, as I think as silly, largely a somewhat comical version of women, let's say. And I think of The Odd Couple originally, you know, with Felix Unger, who was the fussy housekeeper of the two. But then it kind of morphed or led gradually into something like the show on Bravo Channel, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, which was probably 10 or 12 years ago at this point. But within that group of gay men in that show, who were explicitly gay, there was a range there ranging from the silly to the very serious professional type person. So there was quite a spectrum of characters there. But from what I see, now gay people are portrayed on TV and in movies and in in ads in a much more positive light, generally speaking. You know, I'm thinking of like Will and Grace and Smash and Project Runway and Modern Family and Glee and a whole lot of shows, really, where all of that has come out of the closet entirely on TV, you know, and on the cable channels and so on, or else their homosexuality isn't put front and center in the show, but is only subtly evident in their strong or at least neutral characters. And so maybe some of that is be like 6 feet under or Lost, you know, and the same goes for gay women, although there are fewer such roles in shows, but there's like Ellen and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but I see some of these things. So, you know, I guess to boil that down, basically it looks to me like heterosexual white men are being systematically stereotyped on TV as being weak, stupid, immature, and ineffectual. And from what I can see, they're the only demographic group being portrayed that way. So, you know, that's my kind of premise for the show. Scott, I think I asked you a question last, but Michael, how would you react to that whole kind of blunt statement?
Well, I think gay men on television, you're absolutely right, have been portrayed as silly. And if we look back in the history of television, not only have they been portrayed as silly, effeminate, flighty characters, oftentimes on dramas, they're portrayed as mentally ill, you know, they're the deranged killer, and those sorts of negative images. Of course, you've got to keep it in mind at the time that homosexuality was still classified as a mental illness, so this just played into the popular perception. I do think that gay men, with the rare exception, such as the character of Jack on Will and Grace, are portrayed fairly positively on television nowadays. And I think it goes back to the same reason that we've seen the women's image improve over the years, and that is the desire to not offend what is perceived to be a minority group or a muted group in society. So the desire to even the playing field actually hasn't evened the playing field. It's tipped it kind of in favor of some of these minority groups. Reality is that there are gay men, there are black men, there are straight men, white men who are extremely effectual, and there are many who are, you know, complete goofballs in real life. So when we only see one side of that picture, television or advertising or the movies just aren't presenting a realistic portrait of the world as it is today.
You're listening to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. And we're talking with two guests, Michael Abernethy, who is a lecturer in communications at Indiana University Southeast, and Scott Lucas, who teaches anthropology and sociology at Lake Tahoe Community College in California and runs the Gender Ads Project. And we're talking about the portrayal of men in particular on TV in recent years, something I call the shrinking man phenomenon, kind of. So, Michael, you were just talking about, you know, I kind of want to get into more what's behind this trend, and I think you were leading into it with the idea that producers, and I guess that's who it comes down to, right? The producers of the ads and the TV shows want to portray formerly bashed and marginalized groups in a fairer and more positive light, and that's maybe the good side of it. But as you said, and as we've been saying throughout this show, it's kind of gone overboard and singled out the formerly dominant group, who were white men, heterosexual white men, and are now portraying them to a greater extent, and in fact, almost to sometimes an extreme degree, as being incompetent and childlike and foolish, you know. So other than trying to right a wrong, it seems like at the same time they're maybe constructing a wrong. And I wonder whether that's deliberate or just some sort of natural effect of trying to right the wrong. I mean, if you see what I'm saying, you guys are professors in this field. So maybe try to elucidate on that a little bit. Maybe Scott, start with you.
Sure. I was thinking about this recently, and I think there are a few areas as to why we see these representations. The first one I would say is that we're seeing similar means that are being used to portray men in these ads and TV shows and movies that typically have been used to portray women in the negative light. So consumerism, market forces. And the last area I think is particularly important. This is the arena of diet, nutrition, and fashion industries. there's a term we often use in gender called normalization that tells men or women what a normal body should look like. And so whether it's ads for testosterone or ads to make your abs ripped like they are for the models in GQ or Muscle and Fitness, men are being told they should be a certain way and act a certain way. A second area, I think, is a confusion about males, including male bodies, their psyche, their sex role. And I think in a world of gender where it's becoming more postmodern or somewhat confused, we're seeing more diverse representations, but we can't quite figure out exactly what those mean and how we should respond to those. And then the last area we talk about, I think, is generally misconceptions about males and their roles. We spoke earlier about fathers, and we shouldn't assume that a male father, whether straight or gay, single or with a partner, is going to be a bad father. We also shouldn't assume that all males will be aggressive and violent. There are many sensitive or metrosexual males. And so in this last area, I would point to what I think is the most important trend in this area, and this is a social and political confusion in terms of we're seeing these new representations of masculinity, some negative, some positive, but we as a society haven't worked these out. And my hope is that in the next 5 to 10 years, we'll have more diverse representations, and thus we can figure out some of that social and political confusion about masculinity in American popular culture.
All right, so you're optimistic that this will work itself out over time, as overreactions sometimes do get normalized over time. Michael, what do you think about that? I mean, I guess what I was asking is there a deliberate push on the part of producers in the TV advertising industry and TV show producers to make white heterosexual men look silly? I mean, is that a paranoid thought, or is there some degree of intention to that? Do you have any idea?
I think there is some intention, and it, particularly in the area of advertising, because advertising traditionally views the female as the spender in the family, the one who does the shopping. So to cater an ad to a woman means then advertisers more likely to secure the dollars that are being spent. In the past, what we've seen is advertising told a woman how she could please her man through her shopping. But now we're seeing advertising that appeals to women by making fun of and making light of men, and oftentimes mirrors those sorts of complaints that you stereotypically hear associated with girls' night out or girls' talk. So you do see the incompetent father. A good example would be the Huggies commercial, where they say they're going to put these diapers to their ultimate test by leaving the kids with their fathers. And I'm like, now how is that a test of the diaper, that you let the child spend a morning with his father? But it implies that incompetence. A new study has come out that has determined that younger men, two-thirds of younger men, actually enjoy shopping nowadays, which is a switch from the past. So I think as a younger generation gets older and we see a shift in who is doing shopping and in who is spending cash, we're going to see advertisers adapt to the new spending habits that people have. In terms of television and movies, I think that there is also that attempt to appeal to women by making fun of men. And we see that in sitcoms particularly, not necessarily as much in dramas, which have to be a little bit more realistic, but particularly in sitcoms. And again, another good example is the television show Episodes, which I believe is on HBO or Showtime, not quite sure. But Matt LeBlanc, from everything I've heard, is an extraordinarily nice man in real life. But on Episodes, his character is Matt LeBlanc, who is, he's abrasive, he's rude, he's promiscuous, he's uncaring. So even when you're talking about a real existing person, changing that personality to something that's really not desirable to be around, because it does appeal to women.
Yeah, so I guess I can see your basic premise there that if women are responsible for much of the spending or more of the spending independently than they used to be, that advertisers are going to target them in the ads anyway, and that in shows maybe the same thing kind of applies because the shows are sponsored by advertisers. But it's a mystery to me why, in general, I can see it a little bit around the edges, but it's a mystery to me why, in general, making men look stupid and incompetent is something that would please the great majority of women. I don't know that it would, but that seems to be the idea. Do you think that producers buy into that and that the women viewership also buys into that largely? Is it sort of a backlash to being held down as the weaker sex and the less important part of the demographic for so long? I mean, what's behind that? I guess maybe, Michael, you seem to think that more, but Scott, you're an anthropologist and a sociologist. What would you think about that?
I do think there's probably a demographic. I haven't done any research on the size of that demographic. But in general, I wonder if some of this is a result of, again, social change in society. So we see more males in new roles, which I think is incredibly progressive and important, acting as fathers, acting as single parents and providing for kids in ways that they traditionally haven't. Again, you see new career paths. I have more and more students in my classes who are nurses and taking up professions that traditionally have been dominated by women. And I think perhaps part of this is society still trying to work out some of the confusion over these roles. I also look to the issue of American masculinity and the fact that for many men, seeing these confusing representations ranging from the bad father to the grotesque slob, couch potato, to the violent action hero, there's a confusion there. We're sending mixed messages. On the one hand, we might portray males as being violent and resolving conflict only through force. On the other hand, we're bringing in new models, more representations of gay males, of sensitivity, of even metrosexuality. And so I think in that realm of confusion, that might be speaking to why we're seeing these representations. And it's my hope that as negative as many of these portrayals of men and women are, of straight and gay people are, and as many of them are also progressive and positive as we've spoken about today, I hope this will inspire new discussion about gender roles, about representations, whether it be between straight or gay people, and having more open discussions about this. Because my greatest concern as a gender educator is if there's a lot of confusion out there about these representations, what will be the social effects of these in the real world?
Yeah, that's what I wonder too. So, you know, thinking about children, for example, who are open and who basically absorb more and more as the decades go on, a lot of their cultural understanding from TV, apart from the way their own father and their own father's friends might be, or other men, you know, teachers and that kind of thing, apart from that, they're getting a lot of information input about the way men are from TV. And so to the extent that they see these negative portrayals, what do you think the effect on children's view of men is, Michael?
Well, I absolutely agree with Scott that there is a definite mixed message. And I think for a lot of kids, it's extremely confusing. You know, the research tells us that kids' perceptions of men on television are not positive. And one study found that the majority of kids thought that men on television were portrayed as stupid and inept, whereas women were portrayed as effective and intelligent. Now, that study's a little bit old. I don't know what current research would tell us, because I do think there has been more diversity. A recent commercial would be the Johnson & Johnson nursing commercial that features the male nurse treating the young girl with cancer. An excellent ad and a perfect role model for young men. At the same time, you have all these other portrayals of men who are silly and stupid and can't handle, you know, just basic life challenges. And I think it's kind of created a confusion. When I first published research on this particular topic, I got more mail than anything I've ever published before. And there were a good representation of women who were saying, this is absolutely deserved. Men deserve this type of representation. But I also got emails from people, for instance, from a mother who said, I have three teenage sons, and we have to constantly talk and say, what you see on television is not how a man should act. It is not how a father raises his child. Okay, and I'm embarrassed for my sons to see the way men are portrayed. So there's a wide range of opinions, and I think that for kids, ultimately makes it difficult to discern what's real on television, who's portrayed realistically, and what should I be?
Well, for sure, TV's power of persuasion or propagandizing is huge. I mean, I don't know what the average person, do you know how much time the average person spends a day watching TV? I'm sure there's research on that. Michael, do you have that at the tip of your finger?
From what I just, the last study I read said that 7 hours a day of television. I think we're seeing that shift a little bit as young people shift more to time playing video games and time spent on their smartphones and the internet. So we'll probably see a decrease in the amount of time that kids actually spend attached to the television set. Now, that doesn't mean they're not seeing the same sorts of things on the internet or if they're watching shows on their smartphone.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's kind of more of the same, only on a smaller screen, maybe. Well, you know, I mean, my feeling, and the reason I wanted to do this show is this is just something that I began to see over time, and it seems corrosive to me, like the letter from the woman you described, Michael, who's worried about the impact of that kind of portrayal on her children, and I suspect a lot of people are. You know, it's a kind of propagandizing, and I don't know really where it comes from, and whether I hope that Scott is right in his optimistic view that over time it will even out, but I guess there has to be some pushback for that to happen, and sponsors have to start to say, no, I'm not going to support that kind of ad or whatever, and I who knows if that will happen. I don't know. I mean, the old stereotypes were extreme and no longer reflect reality, and men are much more engaged in parenting and household chores than they used to be, and not just the man's job task like mowing the lawn and taking out the garbage, but also doing the laundry and the dishes and all of that, and you know, I certainly get involved in all that. So that shift is appropriate, but it's the way that men are portrayed that worries me. So I think, Scott, you've said that you're hopeful that that will even out over time. And we just have a minute or so left, but Michael, let me just ask you, do you think this trend will continue, or will there be a backlash on it? Will it subside over time? What's your kind of thumbnail opinion of that, if you have one?
I think we're already starting to see some backlash. So, as I said, as today's younger generation gets older, I think definitely we're going to see more of a shift, and as Scott said, a leveling of the playing field.
Well, listen, guys, we are out of time, and I want to thank you both for being on with us on American Variety, Scott Lucas and Michael Abernathy. And if you want to go to genderads.com, that's the website that Scott Lucas operates. It's an interesting compilation of all kinds of information about ads and the kind of thing we're talking about, plus much else. Go to menu on the top right side of the screen, and it'll drop down and give you a lot of options to look at. Thanks to all of you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in again next week, same time, same place, for more American Variety Radio.